What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Adjacent. You're listening to the Sports Adjacent.
Okay, I like that. I just learned something new today. Adjacent.
With Jason Leisure and Russell Dorsey on the House of L Network.
We're doing everything I dreamed of as an adjacent.
Russ told me yesterday, Russ and I had lunch Tuesday in the city, in which I also complimented you, Russ, for looking good and smelling good.
Thank you. You did do that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I was jealous. You're telling other people they look tan, and I'm like, I was born tan, and you have never heard.
Okay. So we're doing.
Hey, that. Us pale folks need the tan compliment once in a while.
Caitlin has that look like she just came back from vacation, which I guess is just how she looks, which, you know.
Yeah, it's been a couple weeks.
You.
I was in Arizona like 2 weeks ago, but I don't think I still have the glow from that. Just makeup.
That's kind of Russ's,
it's all an
like
illusion on
home.
TV.
Russ lives in Arizona, I think.
It does.
It's not a bad place to reside.
But like one of the funniest things of my week was Russ telling me how he was caught off guard by the eclipse. Which I don't say to make fun of him, because I totally understand. Like, I would never have been caught off guard by it, because my wife and kids have not stopped talking about it for a month. And my wife made plans for us to go to Indiana to see it right in the middle of it, in the path of totality, which sounds so ominous. But if you...
It's not like the end of the world.
If you don't live with other people in your house constantly talking about it, and you have a lot of other things going on and whatever. Russ was caught off guard by the eclipse in a way that was very funny to me. He was outside during it.
I was actually.
I wasn't aware of it. Can you explain what happened?
So,
as my family was making the trek to stay in a hotel and find a cornfield in Indiana to watch it in its best, most optimal way, here's what happened to Russ.
All right, Caitlin, this is what happened. So it's been a beautiful week in the city, right? Mm-hmm. And Monday especially, it was like 70 degrees, sun was shining, beautiful, not a cloud in the sky. So I'm like, oh, what a day for a run, right? Like, I'm lifting all the time. Like, let's go out, let's grab the running shoes, get the Asics, and let's go for a run. So I'm running. It's about 1 o'clock.
You're a big run outside guy.
I am.
You're not a treadmill guy. You want to run outside. I know.
Yeah, if I run on the treadmill, it's for two reasons. It's too cold outside, or I'm just doing a quick little 10 minutes to burn out after a workout. But
I'm treadmill if it's under 60. 60 is my line. Like, if it's under 60, I'm on the treadmill.
See, that's the best time to go, like 55. But neither here nor there. They're not coming for running. They're coming for me forgetting about the eclipse. All right, so it's like 1:15 in the afternoon, elite running time, by the way, in the city during the week. Like, Monday through Friday, between noon and 3 o'clock, there are not a ton of people out because people are either working or and kids are in school, etc. Not on Monday, they weren't. So I'm running, and I usually, where I live down here in South Loop, I can shoot over to Museum Campus and then go north on the lakefront. And I'm like, damn, there's a lot of people out today. Okay. So then I'm running. And then as I'm running, I'm like noticing, and I'm looking around, I'm like, there's a lot, like, this is, you would think it's a Saturday on the lakefront, like with all these people here. What the hell is going on? I'm like, where,
why are they all wearing these 3D like, glasses?
Yeah, and they're all wearing funny glasses. That's okay, weird.
So here's the one thing to my credit, they weren't at the time because it hadn't started yet. So it was just people out hanging out on the lakefront, and I'm just, and it's really annoying when you're running, because then people kind of like stand and they don't go in the right path, and it's like, please move, because I'm messing up my times. So then I'm going, I finish my 4 miles, and then I notice as I'm like walking down the river and I'm walking up the stairs to get street level, I'm like, sky looks pretty dusky right now. And then this is when it hit me. People are standing on every corner. And also, kid you not, in the street, looking up at the sky, I said,
that's crazy to me.
The eclipse was today. And so then
was we were watching it, and I was like, what if you didn't know? What if you didn't know this was going to happen? Why would you? You'd be like, what the? And that was you, basically. I mean, you knew, but you forgot.
I knew. It kicked into me after it got dark, and I'm like, "Well, this is not. It's only about 1:45."
After the sun,
I don't even know. Like, I would be so
going on.
Yeah, I'd be so caught off guard that I don't even think an eclipse would come to my mind, because I'd be like, "When's the next one? 60 years from now?" Like, if I really truly didn't know it was coming, I'd be like, I would not think eclipse. I'd be like, "Is there a storm?" Storm rolling in or what?
And it's just like the back of my mind, I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense now. Then you do see the glasses and people are looking up. And so then Russ on a run doesn't have the 3D glasses. So then I'm the idiot. I'm like, all right, how do I look at this thing without like looking at it? So I like find the angle where it's not covered by a building. And I don't look directly, but I kind of like look out the side of my eye. Like
I'm looking over my side eye that solar eclipse.
I'm side eye it, trying to look over my shoulder so I don't blind myself. And you still blind yourself. Like it's the sun.
He looks like after looks like he's trying to like sneak a peek and get away with it. Like
yeah, like you're just like
so God doesn't see me, you know?
Right, see me trying to blind myself. And right. So then after like the 5 seconds where I do that, I'm like, okay, that's cool. And I'm gonna walk home now. But there were people out, and it was like a weird feel. Like the street lights were on at 1:50 in the afternoon, and you had all these people standing on the street, and then the sun comes out and it's over.
It was cool. The lighting, I think, was really cool. How it just looked like a filter. I don't know. It was awesome. It was really cool. I didn't like go all just out. I was just like getting ready for work at my apartment, but like I have these huge like balcony doors, and like just the way the light changed in my apartment, and I was like, all right, I gotta go out and check this thing out. But it was really cool. I did not make the trek like the Leisure Family, but
I wouldn't look at have his either
face.
But I want to know, before we talk about my like long trip to Indiana, the part I'm hung up on in your retelling of how this went down downtown Chicago, Russ, is how were people in the middle of the how and why? Why would there be such a different view at standing in the middle of the street than just on the sidewalk or in the park or something? And how is that possible? Because I highly doubt that traffic just stopped for 4 minutes.
So when I tell you there were an obscene amount of people out there, like you couldn't get into Millennium Park that day. Like it was a madhouse. And then on every street corner, and where I finished my run is up the river closer to over by where Chicago Cut is, whatever street that is. Every corner where the sun was visible, there was a group of people on it. I'm talking like hundreds of people. So after a while, I can't fit on the corner. So I need to at least stand in the street to kind of get a view. And then you're kind of trying to avoid traffic as cars come. But like, yeah, people were standing in the street because the sidewalks were so full of people. If that makes sense.
Okay. Right.
At least we could come together for 4 minutes. Yeah, I was going to say.
As a society, 4 minutes is like, oh, let's look at the sky.
We did it.
Yeah. That is nice. I didn't think of it that way, Caitlin.
I will say, that's what a lot of aliens decided to attack, would have been a great time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or if you just
free food,
to, you know,
you're all out here standing. Let's just finish this really quick.
Fire something in the sky, like, yeah, done.
Grand opening, grand closing.
We stayed at a hotel in the night before because this is going on in the afternoon, and I'm so glad now in hindsight we didn't drive like day of, but we went to Westfield, Indiana, which is like half an hour north of Indy, which I only was aware of because the Bears had practiced there last year with the Colts. It's that town, Caitlin, if you were there. But my wife had mentioned it like a month ago. She said, hey, find us a place somewhere in this path of totality that we could drive to, somewhere in the Indy area that we can stay and see this. And I'm like, I'm coming up with trips all the time. Granted, the trips I come up with are usually cool. Like, let's go to
San Diego or
Paris or something. But I go, okay, Westfield, Indiana. So I like go and book a hotel, and I'm like, what is going on? This hotel, this Hampton Inn in Westfield, Indiana, is going for $400 a night. What is this? And I'm like, man, and I used points for it, so I wasn't paying $400 a night to see something that was visible in the sky from my backyard anyway. But I was like, how is this even? I wasn't going to be paying cash for this, Russ. I still was like, I got to find out if this is real. I got to call the hotel. This is like 3 weeks ago. And be like, is your hotel really $400 a night?
Like, it has to be a mistake.
And he goes, well, you probably have heard that, you know, Hamburglar County or whatever it is. Hamburglar County. That's probably not the name of it. He's going to be in the hotel. And I'm like, okay, I got it. I've heard a lot of this at home. Thank you. I know. But I don't like driving long car trips. Like, my least favorite Bears game every year is Green Bay because you can't fly there. You got to drive 3 hours up there. When the combine and when the Bears are in Indy and stuff like that, Caitlin, I fly because I just hate the drive. It's a 3.5 hour drive from our house. And we drove Sunday before the eclipse, the day before, and it took about 5.5 hours to get there because of traffic instead of 3.5. The way home was worse. The way home was like somewhere between 6 and 7 hours because
oh my God.
Everybody was
no.
in the area.
I can't do 6 hours roads, for the eclipse.
We had to take all these back roads and like every gas station, every restaurant. You stop at a gas station because everybody's like, well, we all got to go to the bathroom because we've been in the car for 2 hours and made it like, you know, 1 centimeter on the map. And then you pull into this gas station in the middle of nowhere and there's a line of people for the bathroom. Just everything was – this was a bigger deal than I realized. I would not have made big plans for this. I was glad – all of that being said, I don't know what it was like here necessarily, other than Russ's description in Chicago. But I was really glad that we did it because it was really cool. Mm-hmm. It was really cool to see it, like the full version of it. Because I'd been in Philadelphia the last time it happened 7 or 8 years ago, and that was not in the path. It was really kind of a very minor non-event there. So seeing that again wouldn't have really meant that much to me. But seeing it in the path of totality, it was pretty cool.
Look at that. Look at how you change course. Now, I will say, 7 hours in traffic coming home for Ooh. Something that was like 10 minutes, I would have been a little, all right. Mm-hmm. We just put lawn chairs
I didn't
back,
know.
Back.
I did not know that. It didn't occur to me that that was going to be a big thing, that there was going to be that level of traffic.
Interest? For this.
Yeah.
Well, traffic, like people on the road, people. And sure enough, like you kind of, you know, run into people here and there and you talk to people and it's like, oh, yeah, I flew in from the West Coast for this. Or, yeah, my family and I drove down from Minnesota for this, which has got to be 10, 12 hours, something like that. I don't know. That was
that's 10, 12 hours in like normal circumstances.
Right. Yeah, probably more. Yeah, even more. But the kids were good and it was pretty cool. It was a pretty cool thing to get to see like right in the heart of it like that.
It's special. Did you feel the emotions? Did you feel the emotions that everyone talks about?
No. What was I supposed to feel? I don't.
Well, no. Tom Skilling said it's like so emotional. We had a huge eclipse special on WGN. You know, that's a shameless plug. And Skillion 7 years ago, like, cried his eyes out. He didn't cry this time, but he said it is a very emotional experience. And I was just wondering, some people feel nothing at all, and some people are like overcome with emotion. So I just didn't know. I didn't guess that you would be overcome with emotion at the eclipse, Jason. That's not a dig. I just knowing you, but I never know.
Well, you're right. I feel like my wife would say the exact same thing you just said, and so would Russ. Yeah. I mean, did it make you emotional or something? Did you?
No, I didn't. I didn't. Okay. I thought, I'm like, oh, this well, is look, cool. You're
just as cold as I am then.
I was going to say, I definitely was not overcome with emotion. But I think it was the coolest part was that people were enjoying it together. Like, I was talking to somebody the other day, was just like, I don't care about it, but I think it's cool that other people care.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay to care about things. And I'm like, you know what? I can get with that.
Yeah. And it didn't seem like a controversial thing to like.
No.
You know, it wasn't like, oh, I don't care about Travis and Taylor Swift, but everyone cares about the solar. Like, no one was like knocking on the people that are excited about the eclipse.
It was just like, hey,
which is very wholesome. Yeah,
that's right. In the sky every day.
Yeah,
I like how Caitlin has lowered the bar for American society that it is a success that we managed to not make the eclipse polarizing.
Yes,
we didn't make the eclipse a politically divisive issue. Congrats, America. We did it.
I mean, I'm sure there were some people out there that did, but I didn't see it.
You know who uses glasses to look at an eclipse? The liberals. Right. I just stare right at it.
The sun's good for your eyes. Look up at it.
Yeah. See, it's vitamins right in my eyes. Let's start the show.
I was about to say, that's a great time to start, Jason.
Welcome to Sports Adjacent. I'm Jason Leisure with my co-host Russ Dorsey.
Yo.
And we have returning to our show one of our favorite guest co-hosts, Caitlin Sharkey from WGN in Chicago. How's it going,
AKA? Caitlin?
What's up, guys? Good to see you. It's been a minute. I'm glad to be back.
The Butcher.
The Butcher.
I hear that nickname.
That's
more.
Chicago's Butcher right there. Not
yeah. Too. Yeah, people are like, what? And if people don't know the reference, like, it'll get tossed around the office sometimes, and people will be like, what did you just call her? And I'm like, oh, that's a long story. We don't have to get into it.
Did Caitlin kill somebody?
Right. Okay. Does, like, it get tossed around your office because it was revealed here? Or I've never heard it before you said it here. Last year, I think.
Here on The Score. With Lawrence. So yeah, I mean, JP will call me the Butcher once in a while, and I'm like, and then I know people are like, what did he just say? I told him he's not allowed to call me the Butcher on air. So we've left that one.
But did you reveal that here?
I think so.
Is
yeah.
That something you just tell people all the time?
No. I revealed it here because we were talking about playing youth basketball. So
yeah, and I think it was you and me and Tony, and we thought for sure her nickname's gotta be Shark or Sharknado or the Fin or something.
Something that obviously makes it.
Her name is Shark.
And it is. And it is. It's all of those things.
It's the Butcher.
But the Butcher was like, my coach, middle school coach, gave me that one. So
you've made amazing revelations on this show. You have revealed that your name, your nickname growing up as a basketball player was the Butcher, that you turned down basically a chance to be on The Bachelor.
I did.
That you appeared in a movie that you didn't even
you
remember
reminded you had me, yeah. In you reminded me of that
as like unnamed news reporter or something.
It was just my voice. My face didn't even make it, which I don't know how I feel about that. Like my first movie appearance, and it's not in my face, just a voice. I don't know.
Do you get an IMDb credit for that?
That's Jason how I found it. One.
Yeah, Jason found it.
I don't even remember how I came upon that. Maybe it was like your first time on our show, and I just Googled your name to see like does anything interesting that I don't already know about Caitlin Sharkey? Because Caitlin Sharkey, for those of you that don't know, you cover a lot of things. Am I right to say
every
you primarily
sport.
Cover the Bears?
Primarily the Bears, but right now I cover everything.
That's what I thought.
I cover everything.
I mean, you're there like every day, every game. So I know you from basically every day of my work, I see you and talk to you. But I'm like, what is there something I don't know about Caitlin Sharkey? And sure enough, like an IMDb credit. And I'm like,
how many? I'm glad you didn't tap Caitlin into Sharkey.
I wonder if this is her.
Yeah, I'm glad you didn't get down the dark web of the Reddits and the other things that you can find Googling me, because the internet's a sick place. So I'm glad it stopped at just my movie credits.
Caitlin Sharkey subreddit.
Oh, God. It's disgusting.
They talking about you on the subreddits?
I don't really know what that means, but it doesn't sound good.
All right. Well, let's rewind, because that was a little too in-depth. Do you know what Reddit is?
Do I?
Yes.
I know the name, obviously. I think it's like a message board. I think it's just people just comment on stuff on there.
Yes. It's the world's biggest message board where people can talk about different topics. You could have like different rooms where if you like the Bears, there could be a Bears Reddit. And then the Bears subreddit is people who hate Darnell Mooney, right? Or something like that. Like those are that's how it kind of like works. And so the subreddit is the subcategory of whatever thing. Like, so maybe it's media people that I hate. And then no offense to Caitlin, but maybe there's like a Caitlin Sharkey. I hate Caitlin.
Yeah, it's the bottom feeders of the internet come together and just say whatever they want. And they like screen grab and they like take every picture that I've ever posted that happens to have my feet in it. And they like just create a thread. Okay. So yeah, that's.
See, that doesn't happen. That doesn't happen to me. Surprisingly, probably to you. what do you do with
ignore?
It'll
keep me up at night. Sometimes I'll like come across it.
At some point you had to have been like, what is this? What's going on? And then you learn to just block it out, just not think about it, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was one night I was like sitting at home. One of my friends was like, have you ever Googled yourself? And I'm like, no, not really. And then I like was sipping wine and I like got down a rabbit hole. And then I was just like, ended my phone and computer, and I was like, that's enough forever. So we leave that out.
I was gonna also say there's a good side of Reddit. Yes. We just talked about the horrible side. Like, I found so many different hacks, and you type into Google, how do I do blank? And
then
there's a Reddit and subreddit with like, oh, you just put this here. Like, I fixed so many remote controls and TV and my PS3 and all this other stuff over the years going on Reddit.
It's a great troubleshooting site.
Isn't that the whole internet, basically? Isn't that Reddit, YouTube, social media, the internet at large? Isn't it like the top 10% of it is great? And it's like so good that we've made all the advances to get here. And the bottom 10% is like, we should have never invented this.
Yes.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Well, sorry you have to deal with that. And no. Sorry on behalf of.
It's all good. I'm just glad you found the cool gems that are out there of mine.
I can't.
You were in a movie.
Sharkey wore red today.
I need to find out. While Russ does the ad reads, I want to pull up that movie and find out what it was called.
Sports Adjacent is presented by our good friends over at Sheets and Giggles. Go to sheetsgiggles.com/SA to get discounts on the best sheets money can buy. It is April and it is Earth Month. So you can get the Earth Month special 22% off your next purchase at Sheets and Giggles. You can also use our promo code SPORTS. That's sports if you don't remember what the URL is. And that happens sometimes. Sheets and Giggles. Colin is the man. It is summertime. It's getting warm. It's warm here in the city of Chicago this week. You need something that's going to keep you cool at night when it gets warm during the day. Maybe it's a little warmer in your apartment or your home. The sheet set, they got duvets, duvet covers, pillows, mattresses, the whole shebangabang. Also, we're brought to you by BetMGM. You can get up to $1,500 back in free betting credit if you do not win your first bet with BetMGM using our promo code ADJACENT1000. That is ADJACENT1000. BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Have you found it?
I have. I don't want to laugh. You were in a movie. It's great. I've never been in a movie, but this movie was called Punching and Stealing.
Oh, yeah. I met these filmmakers from L.A. Well, they were huge Packer fans. I was working in Wisconsin. Met them randomly. they were on like a press tour promoting said movie, made another movie called The 60 Yard Line, I believe it's called. And then fast forward to 2020, I wasn't doing anything. I was just sitting in my apartment and they're like, hey, we need your voice to play like this news anchor lady. And I had like two sentences. That was my career in Hollywood.
You were voice only. Don't say it like it's past tense. You don't know. You don't know.
All right. I'm trying to look at the people and see if I know anybody.
I don't recognize any of these people. There's not even like a down the line Baldwin brother in this.
I do. This guy. All right. His name is Maurice Compte.
Okay.
He was in Narcos.
Oh,
really?
Okay.
Are you sure?
Yes. I literally recognized. I said, oh, that's the dude from Narcos. Because he was like this big time police chief, sergeant, lieutenant that was after Pablo Escobar, and then he got killed.
See? A-listers only.
He was in hella episodes, though. I'll give that to him. He was in like 10 episodes.
Maybe my next movie appearance, they'll like put me in it. I actually walked out of the gym today, and they were shooting some crazy scene. And it's always so fun to like watch like the filming, like behind the curtain happen. They're like, this woman was like putting her suitcases in the taxi. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they were shooting like Force or Chicago Fire, Med, PD, Sky. I don't know how many Chicago's there are right now, but
Chicago Sky is a basketball team.
Yes, that I know. That I know.
Oh, that was, right.
There could be a spinoff. But it was Chicago cool everything. To see it like being filmed. I love that when you're just like walking around on your, in the city, and then all of a sudden you come up upon something really cool and you're like, damn, this is cool.
Absolutely. In eclipse. You'll see an eclipse one day when you're out for discovery.
Just like, a little bit everything.
I was just going for a run. Here's the sun is getting covered by. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Caitlin is credited on the 2020 hit Punching and Stealing as News 5 anchor voice.
Oh, don't tell my, so don't did tell not a, my did not appear employer. On camera. I cannot be called a News 5 anchor. That's probably a copyright contract infringement.
I have a follow up. Was there compensation for your voice?
I don't think so. The guy that was doing the film was a friend of mine.
They got you.
So, I mean, I literally sat in my closet with like a blanket over my head. This is how we like record stuff to get rid of the echo. And I like recorded it in my phone and like sent it as a voice note. It was not this major production, but I'm glad they included it.
Don't make fun of her for doing that for free, Russ. She thought it was going to be her big break.
Yeah.
She said, I'm getting out of this news business.
She thought, after this, I'm
going to be in
the Silver Linings playbook. It's going to be huge. I'm going to be on Chicago Sky or Chicago Med.
I have a better chance of being on Chicago Med than I do the Chicago Sky.
I don't know. They could use some grit.
That's true. I'll ask Chicago the GM Sky tomorrow on my Zoom call.
A teaspoon. First question for you. Would you sign me to be the butcher on your roster?
I'm just going to be the enforcer. 5'10", I'll just be the enforcer.
That would be such a great story if Caitlin got signed by the Sky to be like 6 fouls a game.
That's all I do.
No butcher.
No thanks.
Do they always set all these shows in Chicago because it's a big city, but it's still in flyover country, basically? Like, it's still relatable to people that don't live in a big city as opposed to New York or LA? Because there's always shows set in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Set here, but when you learn about like TV, not always shot here. Like, it was a long time before there.
I'm surprised any of those shows are shot here.
And so like this whole like Chicago Med, Chicago Fire, Chicago PD, that's all relatively new. Like, no shows were shot here, right? It was a really big deal when they shot Batman here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes. That was huge because it's like, oh, man, people never shoot stuff in Chicago. It's always in New York or L.A. or wherever. And, you know, Vancouver, surprisingly, is a place where they shoot a lot of things for like city scenes.
Georgia. And stuff.
Like, my big frat Greek wedding was set in Chicago and they shot it in Canada.
I didn't know
that. The more you know. But yeah,
Chicago Sky would be a good show about astronomers who have all this drama. Like they got their telescopes and they're out in the park.
Would have been Monday.
Yes.
Right. That would have been a great pilot. Great pilot.
Booming runner. That's where it would be my IMDb credit.
That would be the opening scene. Right. Like, right. You know, like beautiful looking up. And then like NASA's just like watching from their like satellite telescope. And they're like, look at this clown. How did he not know the eclipse is happening?
Yeah, you have like a drone shot of me on the river running and then being surprised. And I stop. And I look around.
And so, the dramatic music builds.
And then I point at the sky. And then that's where like the opening happens.
Yeah, the credits.
That's Russ would be, that'd be his IMDb credit on Chicago Sky would be surprised runner who points at sky after eclipse has already started. They should give you a line. They should give you one speaking line where you say, I could tell there was something going on when it got dark.
Or be like, that's the eclipse. And then it goes to like a commercial break.
Those like descriptions in the credits are always so humbling too. Like my fear would be they'd be like mildly out of shape runner. Like that would be my fear. Like I finally get in and there's a clip of me like running down the lake drive and they have to distinguish between me and like somebody else. And they're like kind of in shape runner on lakefront. Like that's your credit description.
Yeah, if I was in like a kids movie where it's like me and a bunch of dads, you know, picking our kids up from school, I'd be listed in there as like doughy balding dad. Yeah,
I wasn't gonna put that.
Couldn't just make up a name for me. Just call me like.
I
Jeff
was
or
gonna
something.
Say they're gonna call you bald dad number three.
Right. Right.
Like, there's really five really bald dudes here. Bald dad number three. You know, they don't put doughy in front of it and like insult you. It's not insulting to
just
call
to specify. Bald. Well, there might be a bald dad that looks like Jason Statham, and then you know they got a.
Oh, see, that's his credit. Bald dad that looks like Jason Statham. Right.
Use that.
You guys mentioned something because Caitlin's talking about out of shape runner, and Caitlin, there's a lot of people in our business that are out of shape. I wouldn't throw you in that category, so. If you were to have a split, Jason, put your hand down because I know you run too. What is your?
I'm on the doughy mile? Side right now.
What is your average mile? Because I'm always so like fascinated for what my times are and what other people's times are.
I don't run, Russ. Like this girl does not. I'm running if I'm being chased. I'm running for like. I'd rather like sprint, right? Like I'd rather go to Whitney Young and run the football field and do like variations of sprints. I don't like long distance running. Never have. I think when I was like trying to run, I think I was like busting like an 8 minute, like not 8 minute mile. Like
that's strong.
Not,
8 minute miles.
Yeah, I was like, that's not bad at all.
I was locked in then, but that was like a couple years ago. I like am bow legged and I had stress fractures on both my shins. So like this body is not built for long distance running. You can ask my high school.
What do you do then? What do you do?
I walk a lot. I do 10,000 steps a day. And then I'll do like kind of, I lift a lot of weights and a lot of that cardio is built in there as Russ, as the gun show is showing us right now.
Oh,
a lot of that. A lot of
man.
Yeah, exactly. Russ knows that cardio is built into lifting a lot of times. So
Russ is like Ron Burgundy. He's like, oh, I wasn't expecting you.
I didn't know we'd have cameras on here.
I didn't realize you guys were going to be here.
Okay, Jason, what's your average mile right now?
Right now, not great. I have like moving from Miami to here has put me in kind of like a seasonal rhythm that I have never wanted to be in, where it's like I get doughy and pasty now in the winter, and then I start trying to get that problem solved this time of year. I would say right now I'm probably like 9 minute miles because I'm not in good shape, but my general goal has always been as close to eight as possible. Mm-hmm. And like the times in my life when I've gone for a 3 to 5 mile run and had a pace like under 8 minute miles, it have been like, oh, I'm going to write about this in my diary tonight. Like, this is great. You clock like 7:45 miles over 5 miles. I feel really good about that.
All right. So
anything under 10 is acceptable though.
Runners and just impress 10, me in general. Yeah.
Anything under 10 minute miles is running, is actual running. When you go like to 12, 15 minute mile, you're walking kind of, you're just fast walking.
I didn't know for the longest time, like, if my times were, because I had never been a runner. And then when COVID happened, because gyms were closed, I just started running. And I think June of that year, I was doing like 10, 11, 12 miles and had never done it before. And then I'm like, I do like 8:30, 8:20, 8:15. And I'm like, man, I feel like I'm going slow. But I, because I didn't have anything to compare it to. And then I had a trainer say, like, yo, for your like muscle mass, like you're killing stuff. Like you should to be at that size and like run that is great. So I did 7:58 on eclipse day. And maybe it was I got superpowers from the eclipse because I was flying. Like I felt it. Like I'm running. I'm like, oh man, I feel
the adrenaline. The adrenaline was
and
pumping.
You, like I'm looking down at my watch and I'm like, oh no, I'm killing. I gotta keep going. And then you go there. But I didn't know for the longest time that range was like good. I thought I was going super slow.
That's impressive.
Well, when I say those times, like this is good or this isn't good, I don't even have a calibration for that. I'm just saying for me, I know when I'm in good shape and running well, my mile splits are between 8 and 8:30, somewhere around there. When it's not, I'm more in like the 9 to 9:30 range like I am now. And when I'm really at the top of my game, I know I'm down in maybe that 7:45 area. But that's just for me. That's kind of just a gauge I have of how good of shape I'm in as a runner at that time.
I'm just thinking about the last time I went for a run. I'm like, damn, how slow was I?
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, let's do the old person thing first. Mm-hmm. As our resident old.
Yes, thank you. I continually find myself doing old person things that I like, little things that I previously hated that my dad or teacher or whoever would do. And my kids are, it's like living under constant surveillance. My kids are always pointing out every weird or gross or old person thing that I do. And the thing that I hated so much when I was in school is like grade school, is when you had a teacher passing out papers and they'll lick their thumb or their fingers to get a grip on the papers.
Yeah.
And I cannot believe that I catch myself doing that all the
time.
You're
that guy now?
I'm going to guess it's hard to say when it started. I'm going to guess it's been going on the last 6 months to a year, and I'm horrified.
I don't remember the last time I saw someone do that. Now that you mention it.
School.
Yes. Yeah.
When they're passing out papers, you want to get the,
even post COVID, we're still
reapply.
Oh, that whole sidebar. People don't give a shit about any of that stuff we were talking about 2 years ago anymore. Like,
no,
I see people just coughing like in people's mouths now. Like, don't nobody care about nothing that we were talking about during COVID. But yeah, people definitely still with the paper to get a little grip.
Mm, yeah.
The one
you gotta time get one I of those, get those wax jars. It. Where are those little wax jars that they have where you like you can keep
or
on
like
your
a little
desk?
Wet sponge.
Yeah.
Put a little Aquaphor on your.
And that's not better. You think I should just start keeping one of those in my pocket all the time, Caitlin? I don't think that's better.
You can pull, if you pull out a jar of wax at Hallis and put it on your thing to like.
Just so you can. Yeah.
I got to just start keeping that in my pocket all the time now, like with my keys and my Altoids.
Hold on. I'll get these papers passed out in my jar.
Well, but I also do it. I also do it to open a plastic bag, like a grocery bag.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's hard to get. Yeah.
Yep.
And
I just do like this.
The time number. I caught. That's what I need. I need to get back to doing it because the time recently where I caught myself about to do it was not with the grocery bag, but with the produce grocery bag. Oh. And you can't be licking your fingers and then pawing through apple. I was about to do it, and I was like, "No, don't do that. It's not okay. Stop. Get help."
The Michael Jordan glue. Stop it. Get some help. I will say, yeah, Caitlin's point, that's the one area where I would do that. Like, when you get the fresh pack of grocery bags that are so stuck together, and you're like, how do we get... And then you figure out, friction separates it. Rub these bad boys together. Open that to get right up. But, like, the paper, that's a tough one. Because you don't want to do that to the papers that you have that are probably important.
No. Interesting. Now I'm trying to think.
Prize you... Would it surprise you to learn that I have in public establishments asked a manager or employee to turn the volume down on the music they're playing?
No.
Ah, Jason.
That feels old, too. That feels old, too. I know it. I know it. But twice recently that I can think of, there's a Starbucks. The Starbucks nearest to my house, actually, the one that would be most convenient for me. They play the music way too loud. I hear it even over my noise-canceling AirPods when I'm there to work, and it's... I can work through that. I made my living as a sports writer, working in NBA arenas and Super Bowls and whatever. And I can work through anything, but why would I make myself if I didn't have to? And so I have, when I've been in there, asked them, hey, can you guys turn that down? And now I've just gotten to the point where it's like, that's too embarrassing. I don't want to keep doing that. So I just don't go to that one. I drive twice as far to go to another Starbucks where I can actually hear my thoughts.
Karen Leisure over here.
I know. I'm not happy about it.
I mean, I see both sides of that. I see like, okay, there are people that want to go work at a Starbucks, but then I think like, if you don't like how loud the music is, don't go work at a Starbucks, go work somewhere else. I was picturing you like pushing your cart at like a Whole Foods or a Mariano's and being like, hey, we need to turn this down.
This is far too loud.
That's what I like. You're licking the produce bags and then you're just like, I can't concentrate because this music's too loud. That's what I was initially picturing. Yeah. I understand the trying to work in the coffee shop vibe. I get that.
I asked recently Caitlin at a hotel in the like lounge area. I was trying to help one of my kids work on some homework. We were on the road in Michigan, and I had to go to the front desk and ask them if they could turn the volume down. And I felt old, but I turned 40. What are we now? I've turned 40 2 months ago. And so I wonder if maybe that's a license for me to now do all this without shame.
40 is still young to me.
That I was about to say.
40 is very young.
40 is the new 30.
Yeah.
I've been fighting this for a long time. I was trying to be a young 37, a young 38, a young 39. Maybe I just give in. Maybe just give in. Just be old.
I don't think you're... I think old is a mindset.
Old. I feel old when I'm driving and like people like cut me off or they're driving too fast. And I have a, like, I have a lead foot. So I know I'm not going slow, but when someone I'm like, and I'm just driving, I'm like, these damn kids, like, that's when I feel the, like, you better drive. You got to drive safely. Like, that's when I start to feel it, when I'm driving or I'm in traffic. And that's all that's we do when... here is sit in traffic. And I'm like, what are you, use your brain. Yeah.
That's
yeah,
off your phone. Your parent. That's mm-hmm. because I do that same thing where mm-hmm. somebody tears up and I turn to my dad like, that's why your car's tore up. Like,
yes. Or they're like on their phone and you like look over and you're like, oh, of course they're on their phone. And then you drive and like 10 minutes down the road, you get a call and you're talking on your phone. And you're like, yeah, at least I'm paying attention.
I always want to like clap through the window and be like, hey, drive your car.
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing
old,
here?
That's old as hell.
I'm trying to that get somewhere, aren't you? Like, are you just out for no reason in the
leisurely drive?
Yeah,
trying to go somewhere.
Well, I don't know, man. I have that sometimes. It's like, it's a nice day. Let me just go ahead and go for a drive.
I don't believe you can leisurely drive. I grew up in a town with no stoplights, country roads, two like one lane highways. So when I think of leisurely drive, I don't think about anything in the Chicagoland area. So that's, I think, where my frustration builds, because I'm like, I know you're just not cruising Ashland on a leisurely drive. Like, you're going somewhere. So let's drive like we're going somewhere. If you want to leisurely drive, go to the burbs and hit the roads out there. But we're not, there's nothing leisurely about trying to get on the Kennedy or driving the Kennedy anywhere right now.
No, that's not what I was
Caitlin, when you, at all. When you are behind someone who's driving poorly, and either slow or moving around or whatever, in your view, driving poorly, and you get around them, do you automatically look to see who it is and what's going on in there just for your research purposes, just for data?
Usually, yes. I try to side-eye it like Russ does the solar eclipse, though. Like, I'm not going to, like, look like that.
Caitlin driving, going...
Yeah.
But I, like, side-eye it. I'm not trying to get into
a confrontation... But I want confirmation of what I think, which is that you're on your phone.
Yes. I just want to like kind of peek. And in the majority of the time, the people that frustrate me the most are the people that are just like 10 and 2-ing it up. And I'm like, you're not even distracted. Really? Like, where are you right now? Like, what planet are you on? Those people upset me the most, I think, because there's no excuse. But it's always a side eye. You can't like rubberneck and looking in the car because it's not a good look.
Yeah, I don't want to get out of the car over this.
Yeah.
Exactly. I don't want to have a whole situation. But I do want to know that, as I thought, you were on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
It's another old person thing, I think. Yeah. I think I'm just sliding that way. I got to go with it.
Nah, man. You can undo it.
Like, what are you going to do when you start getting old, Russ? You're just going to be like, nobody, not today.
I don't think I'm going to start getting old outside of the number. Like, I think old, I truly think old is a mindset. Like, I'm turning 30 this year. I'm not old.
Oh, God. What a baby.
Stop it. Stop it.
You're so accomplished for almost 30.
Some gray in that lush, beautiful hair. You're going to Carlos Boozer it? You're going to, like...
See, this would be the perfect thing to Carlos Boozer because it doesn't, I don't look like a cue ball. But also, yeah. I might look great with the salt and pepper. My dad did. Mm-hmm. And my dad started turning.
With your hair, that looks mm-hmm. very good.
He started turning, he told me he started getting grays in like his late, early 20s. And so I've gotten a long way, knock on wood. And even if it's like, I think I could pull it off. Like, there are a few things that get me rattled where I'm like, oh my God, I'm old and my biological clock going off and I ain't got no kids yet. That stuff just doesn't hit me the same.
Okay.
And maybe I'm the exception because it hits a lot of people like that. And it's not a gender thing either. Like, I know dudes like, ah, man, I ain't had a kid yet and I need to have one by 35 because then I don't want to be an old dad where I can't go out and play catch mm-hmm. with my son or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I've started to see the sporadic occasional gray in my facial hair. And I'm like, can I not even have this? Can I not just hang on to this for a little bit? Like the one thing I do well.
Because I think that's I've told you before, I think the beard is the best quality you have, especially as like a bald dude. And so if you go salt and pepper beard with the gray, yeah.
mm-hmm.
but you got to commit to it. Like, you can't half-ass it. Like, you can't go because you like the 5 o'clock shadow, like half.
You gotta like lean
into the thing go, and so then we can see the salt and pepper.
Yeah,
I had it a couple weeks ago. You probably never really see that, man. Unless maybe it's on here, because I usually clean it up when it's time to go back to work. Like I haven't been up to Hallis Hall in weeks, but I'm sure whatever day we go up there for the draft, Caitlin, I'll have everything all cleaned up and back to professional level.
I think you should go straight Floof's beard up there. Just you know.
All right, great topic for that, because
you're like, watch it, Floof's look at it. Yeah, exactly.
He's killing shit with the beard. Like I'm like, out on you, but beard Floof's, I'm in.
No, it's not just the beard. It's the he's got the beard. Mm-hmm. He's got the different haircut that looks better. And obviously one of his kids has been picking out his clothes because every across the board looks sharper.
No.
Yeah. Yes.
Flu's a saucy. Like I saw him at the combine. I was like, oh, he got the like the glow joggers up now and the beard. See, Flu said age is a mindset.
So Benjamin, he's old. Benjamin Buttoning out here.
He looks
he saw his coaching life flash before his eyes is what he saw.
Yeah, and he was like, well, shit.
Surviving, I'm going to go out and be like, okay, all right. I got to rethink everything.
You can't fire a young dude.
He saw LaFleur. LaFleur in Green Bay has been killing that game for a while. So I think he like saw him at the Marquette game and was like, listen, this guy looks pretty swaggy.
George Clooney made a career off of gray.
It looks great.
Well, yeah, you can go gray if you have great hair. Like, you have great hair. If that just goes gray instead of, you know, LeBroning backward or something like that, you know, you're going to look great.
Right, because I think the benefit that
I have anything up here to turn gray
is the hairline. Where, like, my dad's like, at some point it's going to go gray, but you're always going to be right here.
Yeah,
and I'd much rather have that.
A great place to be. Great place to be.
Yeah, right here, you got the nice and tight, high 90-degree angle, you're good. But when you start drifting, that's when you have to make the life choices of, all right, it's time to come on home. Like, Jason, when I first met you, you were in that, I still want to keep what's up there. And then you were just like, done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, I'm sorry I brought that up because it seemed like it hits you hard.
When we come back next segment, more on how good Russ looks.
I was going to hit your last thing and then go take that into the news.
Board games?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because I love Margot Robbie, so I was in on that one.
I do as well.
I don't know if Margot Robbie's going to be in this, but Margot Robbie is at least producing a movie based on Monopoly, the board game.
See, you can't say that because if I was directing a movie, you can't say that Margot Robbie is not in the movie because then I'm not watching the movie. If Margot
Robbie
even
going to play though, there's no characters. There's and then there's the dog and the train or the iron or
where's the guy?
She could be the board for all I care. I'm going to watch.
Oh, okay. You've got like, you know, like how they sometimes do sushi, but now it's Monopoly. Playing Monopoly on.
I mean, you said it.
We'll try to.
I wasn't taking
like
it there, but
your bachelor
the
party
visuals
day,
right? I have. Oh, wow.
Like I've watched Focus. Great movie. Margot Robbie was in it. Suicide Squad, Barbie. I ain't had no business.
Wolf of Wall Street.
Wolf of Wall Street. Oh,
that's why you watch Barbie.
Duchess. So yeah, I think she's a good actress, but also
she is.
Chef's kiss.
She is.
I don't know how you would make a movie out of Monopoly. I just can't.
Yeah, that one's tough. I mean, it's going to be animated, right? Like a kids thing.
I don't know. I don't think it said
the first ever game of Monopoly.
I was trying to think, though, of what board games would work as movies.
Life.
Or what would be my favorite. Life. Obviously, you know, Jumanji is the GOAT.
Yeah.
Of
Sorry.
You know, it's not a real game.
Sorry. Trouble. Just popping around.
There's a theme here.
Yeah. You could do a horror movie of Operation. But I think the one I would like best would be... What I would like best, though, would be some kind of like dystopian future adaptation of Jenga. That would be cool.
Mm-hmm. Clue was a movie,
when your
right?
Block Clue's gets movie. Pulled.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think yeah. Clue's been done.
Clue's already moved. Man, so many possibilities.
I do like the horror movie version of Operation.
I do like that.
Like, it would have to be an R-rated movie because there's going to be a lot of blood. But yeah. You can do some
cool things
to have a backstory as to why this dude has all these items in him.
That's good. That's a good horror flick. I would like a Game of Thrones chess matchup. Like, there's some way chess we incorporate.
Cool.
Yeah, where, like, you incorporate all of the things that Game of Thrones brings to the table, but, like, certain characters can only play by their, like, chess rules, depending on their piece.
I like that.
Sorry. Mousetrap would be an easy one. Did you guys ever have that, or am I?
Yeah, definitely. That old? Hungry, hungry hippos can do that one.
Hungry, that's the one I want. That's it. That wins. That's the one I want. Yes. And it's a comedy. Yes. It'll be awesome. Yes. Hungry hippos. Give me that. Yep. Done.
Or Rock'em Sock'em.
I was going to say the honorable mention is the Rock'em Sock'em robot movie.
Mm-hmm. not bad either. Yeah. I like that.
Just think there are people right now that are being paid to sit in a conference room or an office, probably a really cool high-tech office, to throw these ideas around. Like, they work for a game or a movie
yes.
company, and they're like, how would this look?
They're like sitting like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, guys. I'm thinking Monopoly, Margot Robbie. And everybody's like, oh.
And then there's always the jackass in the back who's like, we're never going to get Margot Robbie. We're never going to get her. And it's like ruining
it. Find an a Margot Robbie type.
Yeah.
Yeah. Margot Robbie type is definitely the next thing they say.
You know when I always think of that, Caitlin? I think of that every time Taco Bell comes out with a new item on their menu.
Yeah.
I think somewhere there's a boardroom. Mm-hmm. And somewhere there's Taco Bell research and development. And they're having these conversations about, you know, how to do breakfast. But I feel like some of those jobs, maybe that one in particular, like they've got to be high. They've got to be in there just completely stoned out of their minds, being like, what if it was like tacos, but there's an egg in it?
And Fruit Loops. Yeah.
That's a great idea, Twiggy.
Like the Doritos Loco Taco. Come on. We know who created that.
One of their best.
What if there's like a taco, but it was made out of a chip. Yeah, there we go.
The guy's like eating Doritos. Really well. Got the munchies. He's just like chowing down a bag of Doritos. Like, what about this chip?
And then the whole room's like, oh!
Yeah.
Yep.
Or
how do we get those
great ideas, Skeeter?
the one is the taco made with the chicken as the vehicle. Like,
yes. Yeah.
They were wild.
You can't think of that unless you're high.
Yeah.
You know what I was wanting was like a taco, but like a chicken patty from grade school. Like, what if the tortilla was a chicken patty?
That's disgusting.
Like, man, you nailed it, Twitch. Great job. Like, you're the man.
You're killing that voice.
You're our guy.
Like, that's one of your best like voices that you do. Hi, guy. That's
hi, guy.
Exec.
That's your credit. I'll get you on.
Hi, guy.
Hi, guy. That's your credit.
Right. Taco Bell R&D exec who is always high because responsibly high because it's part of his job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That job description. Be high at work.
There you go. Yep. This is a good show. Caitlin, you do great every time you come on here.
It's fun. I enjoy it. I don't get to talk about being high in Doritos Locos usually at my office. So
I know. This was something him and I talked about the other day. Is like we've had so many people on here that I don't feel like we've given a platform to people like you. Mm-hmm. You have your own whole thing going on. But what we have done with people like you or Dion Miller or a bunch of other people is give you a chance to be like to showcase yourself to people in a different, a completely different way than what you normally have, which is kind of what we did for ourselves starting this.
Yeah. My producer the other day, he like complimented me. He's like, you know what I appreciate? I appreciate that you're like the same person on Sports Adjacent than you are on TV. And I'm like, I am, but with different conversations. But I was like, thank you. I'll take that compliment. Yeah. And thanks for listening to Sports Adjacent.
Honestly. Fantastic compliment.
No, I was never like, well, let's see if Caitlin could be good on here. I'm like, I like how she is. Normally, she'll be great
in life
in this environment. Yeah,
real life. Yes, appreciate that, guys.
All right, Russ, let's do the news.
All right,
Deion Sanders has been the coach at Colorado he's going into his second year, and ever since he got into college coaching, there's been 100 videos, clips, viral things, whatever that Deion Sanders has said or done or whatever. The latest one, I think, is my favorite. So, Deion Sanders. There is a clip that his son posted on social media. Deion Sanders got an angry letter from a professor at Colorado about some of his players. And this letter is pretty detailed from what I could tell. He held a team meeting. He puts it up on the projector, the letter itself. And he was clearly not dismissive of this letter whatsoever. He was furious. It starts with kind of the broad strokes of like these players are coming into class inattentive, disinterested, it's disrespectful, it's horribly frustrating to me to have to keep repeating things because they aren't listening and things like that. And then it gets into specific examples. And the way the video is cropped, it doesn't show the names of any of the players, but it shows, you can see some of it. There was a line in there about someone is always coming in without a shirt on and just laying down in the classroom, stuff like that. And Deion is just shredding them for this. Deion is going through these examples and asking his staff, hey, what's this guy's draft grades? Oh, he doesn't have any. Okay. And then going on to the next.
Oh.
He brought up the frustration of, see, Deion is old school in his own ways. Deion is doing things new and different in a lot of ways, but there's a lot of things where Deion Sanders and I would be kind of similar. Like we'd have some kind of older school views.
That's the point when I saw the clip is just like, I know Deion rubs a lot of people the wrong way for how he does things. And I think a lot of people feel like Deion is full of it and only in it for Deion. I think you can look at that and some of that could be true. I do think at his core, he is very old school in you got to treat people right. You got to respect your elders, people in authority. I think that is 100% true. And I think this is not BS at all, that he was bothered by a teacher saying, yo, your players are coming here and disrespecting me, disrespecting the kids in the class that are trying to learn. And that's not right. And so he's probably like, that probably bothered him more than getting blown out by somebody.
Well, because you, like you said,
Caitlin, he took a flamethrower to this like your parents would if they got a letter.
Well, I think because like you mentioned, Deion loves Deion, right? And that letter is a reflection of him in some inadvertent way, right? Like those are his players that he spends the most time with, probably more time than they spend with their parents or anybody else. They spend with Deion. So he's looking at it like, this is how you're acting when I'm not around. It's like the same thing. I'm sure you can speak to Jason when you hear it. I'm not accusing your kids of acting inappropriately, but if you hear your kid doing something, you're automatically thinking about how is this a reflection of me and my parenting? I'm sure he feels the exact same way as a coach, and good for him for holding them accountable. And you know, the truth hurts sometimes, but that we need to be humbled. We all need to be humbled. And that team, especially coming off what they had last season, it's probably a good reminder. Good reminder.
He wanted this video out. And this is a broader message that more than just the Colorado student athletes would benefit from, I think. He goes on to say, they have the clip of him holding the team meeting. That's a minute or two long. And then there's him talking directly to the camera afterward as kind of his final thoughts on this. And he's saying 90 to 95% of your roster is not going pro in this sport. Like you've got to get your degree. You have to take class seriously. And I never have believed in this whole, college athletes don't need to get paid because they're getting paid by getting a degree. There's so many holes in that that I could point out, but they are getting a degree. They do have that chance, that opportunity to get it. And you really need to get it. Deion says, quote, today was not wonderful, but I'll be darned. He says darned. I've never heard somebody pronounce it that way. He says, I'll be darned if I allow these kids to get out of here without something, meaning without either getting drafted or getting a degree. He, one of the things he lamented was the NIL stuff. And that's another thing that I kind of don't like hearing coaches complain about, is the new challenges of NIL. There are always new challenges to everything. These players should have been getting paid for a long time. Figure it out. Deal with it. You figure out how you can get paid $7 million a year, and you can get more of an assistant pool for your staff and stuff. Like, learn to figure it out. And the coaches that adapt the best to that will do the best in football and in men's basketball. I did learn some interesting things about NIL and kind of the byproducts of it, at least for now, over the last few months. Did you know it is widely considered to be the case that the price to keep a projected third round pick in school instead of going pro is $1 million? If you are coaching, Russ, let's just say you're coaching Oklahoma, and you've got a guy who is projected to be a third round pick if they leave for the draft, which would be one of your best players, clearly. Yeah. It's just a third round pick in the NFL. That's a star on your team in college, even at a big program.
Yeah.
The agent will come back to you and tell you, well, they're going to get a $700,000-ish signing bonus as a third round pick. So you got to come up with $1 million to keep them. Or another school can come up with $1 million in NIL money and will enter the transfer portal and go there. And that's the new game. You got to be good at that, and you got to hire people that are good at that. But I do understand being frustrated with that.
For sure. And I think and I'm not even a big college football guy, but hearing after the season ended that a quarterback in the portal was going to cost you $2 million. And you see coaches going, you know, I mean, I got this kid on the roster that's kind of good. Like, I'll just give him a little bit more NIL as opposed to trying to go get whoever from X school or DJ Uiagalelei for the fifth different school and give him $2 million. Like, absolutely not. And it's also trickling over into the other sports, where I've talked to people, you know, in baseball, where coaches are now like, let's say a kid goes and plays, it is a freshman at Texas and tears it up. It doesn't matter. And that coach at the end of the year will be like, yeah, you had a great year, man. You probably need to hit the portal, because I'm paying this guy to come and play short for us. Damn. And it's a numbers game. And that's crazy. Like, I hit 375 at an SEC school, and I'm going to be on the street basically because you promised NIL money to somebody who didn't prove it yet. Like, he could be bad. I proved that I could play here. It's the wild, wild west right now.
It is. It's a very early introduction to the real world of careers and working and corporate America. And it's just, you know, if there is a learning lesson, it is that, because you're like, what? You're paying this person how much? I thought you valued me. You don't want to pay me this much. Like, again, an early lesson. It's unfortunate, but fun for them.
The other thing that has happened that I've been hearing on the, like, once you get through, once you're on the other side of the draft, once you're in running a pro team, is you're getting guys. And this is another thing where if you'd asked me and I said, or if you ask me now and you say, should it be as easy as possible for these kids, these players, to transfer? I'd say, yes, of course. The coaches leave all the time. These guys should be able to leave anytime they want and go where they should have total freedom. Nothing should be restricting their freedom. But one byproduct of that becoming easier now is you draft a guy, you get a guy who potentially has had the college experience of, well, I went to one place to be their big five-star recruit, and things weren't going well, or I didn't like the way the coaches yelled at me, and so I left and went somewhere where it was going to be, you know, better for me, instead of kind of fighting through that, which is your choice, totally your choice at that time. It's not your choice when you get to the NFL and you sign a four-year contract as a sixth-round pick or a third-round pick or whatever. There, you don't get to just enter the portal when you get there, and you don't like how tough and mean the coaches were in rookie minicamp, or you don't like that you're fourth on the depth chart at your position. But the team, like, if they draft a guy, Russ, if they draft a guy and it doesn't work out because that guy is not able to deal with all of that, it's still on you. You still have a draft pick that you made that didn't work out. So right. Now the teams are like, well, we got to be careful with this guy. We have to be careful with how we deal with this guy because he's not prepared to handle us telling him, hey, you're a special teamer this year.
Right.
Or hey, you're like, you're gonna be an active nine games this year.
Yeah, like both things could be true. And yeah, you deserve to get paid as a student athlete, but also like, are you committed to mm-hmm. your craft or are you committed to the bag? Because I'm cool with being committed to the bag if you're also going to be committed to your craft.
Yeah.
Right. Caitlin Clark makes as much NIL as anybody in college sports. But when the final, when the tournament was here and games were here, you saw her putting up 35, 40 nightly bases. But if you have a guy that's like, man, this team's not good. I'm going to transfer. I don't like this coach. I'm going to transfer. And now you've been to four schools in 4 years as a team, to your point, Jason. I'm like, were you committed to getting better anywhere? Or was it just like, well, who's going to pay me and not yell?
And you see that in the NFL. You see those, I'm not saying all journeymen are like this, but you see those guys that bounce from team to team to team. And it's like, when you see the, like you said, they're chasing one thing and not bettering their craft. It doesn't work in the NFL either. They'll eventually end up without anything. So it's just a wild. It is a wild world right now in college sports. Absolutely wild.
If you're coaching or working in college sports, you got to adjust to it. You got to figure out, you got to adapt, because whoever adapts and figures it out the fastest is going to do the best. From the Associated Press, a man has been fined in Sydney, Australia, for urinating in a cup while waiting for his plane to taxi to the gate. See if you can guess what the fine for that would be. So a plausible scenario you could imagine. You're on the plane, and there's a certain point when the plane goes into its approach that you are not allowed to use the bathroom, although mm-hmm. technically you can, but like you're told you can't use the bathroom, and you got to go, and then now you're on the ground, and it's taking 20 minutes to, because there's a delay at the gate. Like, it's a scenario you could imagine. Mm-hmm. I would hope all of us and many others would handle it better than this person did. What would you guess the fine is for that?
Something tells me that because you're telling us mm-hmm. it is an exorbitant amount of money.
20 grand.
I was going to say 10.
Okay. A 10 feels like what it should be.
Yes.
10 feels like what would be right.
Don't say you're going to say like 50 or something. That's crazy.
10,000 or maybe even banned or suspended from air travel. I could understand that. You can't be doing that. The fine, it turns out, is only $395 US.
Okay. Yeah, I'm with that. See, I thought that's what it probably –
That's worth saving the hassle of climbing over some people and walking up.
I think the crime should fit the punishment, and I don't mm-hmm. think that dude was trying to be nasty or rude. It's just like, yo, my bladder's going to explode, or I got this Gatorade bottle.
I feel like a lot of it can be avoided. If I understand there are certain moments in a flight – before a flight where you just physically, you should not be getting up out of your seat. But I think they take it a little far sometimes. And it's like, if we're on the ground, we're just going along here. We're sitting at the gate and we haven't pulled, just let the person use the restroom. Just stop. Like,
yeah. Or the
I'll
alternative.
Take the risk. Like, let me sign a waiver. And then like, if I get hurt, it's on me. Like they have like a waiver on their notepad where you just like,
there you go. Yeah.
Or you have the person like, well, you know what? I'll go right here, right now.
Right.
Everywhere. Do you want that? No.
Right.
Well, let me go to the bathroom.
No. Mm-hmm. So I think.
Well, let me give you some more details on this. I can put myself in this situation because I've not been in this situation. I've not done this, but I hydrate a lot. I drink a ton of water. Like there, for every action, there is a reaction. There's cause and effect here. But this happened at the end of a three-hour flight from Auckland, New Zealand to Sydney, Australia, when a passenger raised a complaint about it. So this passenger said that she and her 15-year-old daughter were in the aisle and middle seat. So this guy's in the window seat. And they're taxiing to their gate, which is – there was some kind of delay because a gate wasn't ready or something. This happens all the time. When she and her 15-year-old daughter heard the unmistakable sound of – the man next to them peeing into a cup. And she added, that this man was, quote, obviously quite drunk, and that as he was exiting the plane with his cup of urine,
spilled it.
Spilled a little on he spilled at least a little on one of the flight attendants.
See, and then I get it now. Like, you're sitting, like, I also don't want to see that out, that act of peeing in a cup. If I'm like, you're already too close to people as it is on an airplane. I can't imagine somebody using a cup to go to relieve themselves. So, yeah, that's pretty horrible. See, now I'm like, maybe 10,000 is so bad.
10,000 because now
$395 and no ban.
Because, yeah, like you said, once you hammered.
$395 is a speeding ticket. That's nothing.
Yeah. Once you spill the pee, you can't fly for about a year.
Yeah.
I was going to, I give you the benefit of the doubt because it's like, I've had the thought of like, do I have any Gatorade bottles on me? But like, yeah, you can't. No. And if he's drunk, that means he probably wasn't concerned if the mother and daughter could see whatever or was going on or not. Yeah, you gotta run us our 10,000 real quick.
I think I am generally not wanting to snitch on anybody unless it's directly affecting me.
Mm-hmm.
Like if someone else is breaking the rules in some way, but it's not actually affecting me, I'm kind of like, I don't need to be the reason someone else gets in trouble. But if you're doing that next to like me and one of my kids, I think I'm pushing the call button.
If he turned away and like nobody could see anything.
If my kid is there, I'm pressing the call. If my kid is there, I'm pressing the call.
Yeah. Like he's drunk. He's pulling it out next to like a kid or somebody. If someone did that next to me on a plane, I would immediately be like, oh, absolutely not. Put it away. What are we doing?
All right. Devil's advocate. What if
drunk is a factor here?
Drunk is a factor. I was going to say, but what if
he's
not
like you've just been drinking water for your health? Like you kind of did this to yourself.
The drunk part is like, for sure, I'm with you guys. But if you're not drunk, because I can see the scenario happening when you're not drunk. And you're like, guys, I
because of hydration. Yes.
And they won't let me get up. I'm sorry. I will turn away. Nobody will see anything, but I have to do this.
I just think it's pushing. This is another thing. I'm not going to go like men, women, like ganging up on the men here. But this is another thing where I'm like, men just push the boundary. Women, we don't have that luxury. Like, I can't just like take advantage of that, a Gatorade bottle on a plane. Like we would be hauled off because there would be more involved, obviously. So this is just another thing. I have this whole thing. Like even when I'm on golf courses, I get so mad because I'm just like jealous that men. Yeah.
And without like, missing my shot.
Yeah. And I'm like, I can't. And I've had 10 high noons. Not 10.
I thought this the other day. It depends how deep into the round we are. When we were driving back from Indiana and it was crawling and every gas station you go to, there's a line of 12 people waiting to use the one bathroom in the middle of nowhere, Indiana. I was thinking that we were at this gas station and my wife and daughters were in the line. And I'm like, I don't need to wait in this line. Like, I can just go behind the building. But I go back there and it's like, it kind of backs up against an alley. There's like, they got security cameras. I'm like, the last thing I need is to be cited for public urination or something over this.
Wow.
And finally, Russ.
I always get a bottle in the car.
Yeah. Or like one of those vitamin water ones that's really big.
Yeah.
A family dog that went missing near their home in San Diego last July. Think how long ago that was. We're in April 2024. This dog went missing in July 2023, turned up last week in the suburbs of Detroit, 2,300 miles away. This is a story from the Associated Press. The Grosse Pointe, Michigan Animal Adoption Society found the dog, which is a 3-year-old Chihuahua Terrier mix named Mishka, and used its microchip to get the contact information for its owners in San Diego, which is a guy and his wife and their young daughter. So I'm sure the kid is very excited to get the dog back. This family was traveling to Minnesota anyway for vacation or something when they got the call from Detroit that, hey, we found what we believe is your dog. So when they landed in Minnesota, the dad gets in a rental car and drives 10 hours to Detroit to see if it really is, and it was.
It's like the Homeward Bound scene when the dog comes
That's
up.
Exactly what I thought of.
And the family's like, oh, wow, that's crazy.
I hate to ruin this great moment for everybody involved.
Please do, because I have some cynicism about this too.
If the dog already had the microchip in him, then why was he missing for a year?
The microchip is not like a tracker. It's not like Find My iPhone. It's not an AirTag.
Then what the heck is it in there for?
That's what I'm saying. Well,
maybe you can get that, but I don't know how expensive.
Why else are you putting a microchip in your dog?
The person, when you said there's a microchip, I'm like, well, why the hell was he missing for a year? Can you track?
So the supposed backstory on this. Go ahead. The supposed backstory on this was that the dad had the dog at his work in San Diego at an auto mechanic shop, and then the dog went missing from there. And now that makes me wonder if maybe this dog was his wife and daughter's dog, and maybe not so much his dog.
And he left a trail of bacon off.
The dad might have had a nice 10 months of not taking care of this dog. And then he's like, oh, you found him. Great.
He's like, that's great. Wonderful. He like answered the call on speakerphone. Yeah. So he couldn't even
Are you sure? Are you sure you found
right. My dog? Our dog?
I found an answer.
Okay, I'll be right there to see. Thanks.
So this from Dr. Phillips Animal Hospital. Pet microchips do not have GPS technology. Instead, they have radio frequency identification that is able to be scanned for information like the pet's owner's contact info. This means that microchips can't give your pet's location if they get lost, but it can lead to their safe return when they're found. Yeah. All right. At that point, I'm putting an air tag on my dog.
Mm-hmm.
And just putting that on the collar. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why.
There you go. Well, they weren't doing that, Russ. They're not as on top of it as you would be.
But it's not being on top. It's just being, it's just smart. If you know you can't get GPS technology or information, if you put this chip in, let's just go get this $75 AirTag, throw it on the collar, done. Then you would have to go through this heartache for a year.
I don't think Dad was going through heartache.
And Dad might not have been that upset. I don't know.
Kid crying for 8 months and whatever. Yeah. I'm glad the dog's back.
Me too.
There are a lot of questions about how this happened, and I don't think it's the Animal Adoption Society in Grosse Pointe, Michigan doesn't think this is a Homeward Bound type story, Caitlin. They think that their working theory is that someone stole this dog in San Diego and then sold it, like through the internet or whatever, to someone in the Detroit area. And then that person was done with the dog at some point and just let it loose as a stray. That's kind of the working theory of what it's not that the dog like traveled by train from San Diego to Michigan or something like that.
Well, I need a 30 for 30 on this dog story.
Story at all. Jeez, way to take it down.
That's the news.
Grand theft is when you travel across state lines. Yeah. That's grand theft.
I don't know. I have never had to research all of that, so I'm not sure.
Dog trafficking. Like, this is all bad. I didn't like this. But I did like having Caitlin Starkey on the show.
Mishka's back with with her family now. Everything's good.
All right.
Good for Mishka.
I and Jason would like to appreciate our good friend Caitlin Starkey for joining us on this week's episode of Sports Adjacent. Caitlin, thank you for being here.
Thank you, guys. Always fun, interesting, and conversations I would not have with anybody else. So happy to be part of the pod.
That
could be our slogan. That's
100%.
That's the best endorsement I've ever heard of Sports Adjacent right there.
1,000%. As always, Sports Adjacent is brought to you by our good friends over at Sheets and Giggles. If you would like the best sheets on the market, sheetsgiggles.com/SA. It is Earth Month, and they're having their Earth Month sale. You get 22% off your next purchase with our friends at Sheets and Giggles. You can also use promo code SPORTS if you forget the URL. We're also brought to you by BetMGM. You get up to $1,500 back in free betting credit. If you do not win your first bet, you can use our promo code ADJACENT1000. That is ADJACENT1000. Jason, anything before we let the fine folks go?
Caitlin, I think last time we talked to you on here, you were about to get your Sheets and Giggles sheets. Now that
you've
had
them every night
for a while,
I love them.
Are you a believer?
Yes, they wash really well. They're nice and like cool now that the weather's getting warmer. So I love them. I love my sheets and goons.
Were you skeptical when I said, hey, you're really going to like these?
No, I trust you.
I'm serious. You're really going to like these. Were you like, come on?
Yeah, I trust your, you wouldn't give me a bad review of sheets. I feel like that's, you know, you talk about old people things, like that's a good review of sheet set is good. So yeah, I believe you.
I'm with Caitlin. Yeah, it's giving old. It is definitely giving old. With that, we will catch you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to Sports Adjacent with Jason Leisure and Russell Dorsey. Be sure to download, subscribe, and give the podcast 5 stars. You can check out the latest episode of Sports Adjacent on all digital streaming platforms.
I'm very much adjacent. For a couple hours, I thought I was hood. But then all that happened, I was like, you know what, James? You adjacent to the mother.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.